Some of you know me that I've come from Colorado. But you might not know that I'm a brother-in-law of George Peltier. It was his patience and perseverance for 13 years that was able to work in my heart and show me God's Word. Not according to what I thought it should have been, or the way I twisted it around, but how the Scriptures so plainly state. Some of you might know George, and he has a real strong personality. But you know, sometimes that's what it takes. You can't be weak and timid. We need to be bold. And George is bold at times. When it needs to be said, he'll say it. And I truly love that man. For too many years, I had edited, jumped over, twisted the Scriptures around to suit my purpose. And this is where that strong personality of George came into play. And that's what God said is needed. And George was more than willing to fill in that spot in my heart with a strong personality. And I praise God that I am now a child of the Lord. He is my Lord. He is my King. So actually, I'm standing in front of you gentlemen today, a babe in Christ. I came into the kingdom on December 22nd, 2006. I have been given this opportunity to present a message to some very strong men of God, to lift you up, to edify you, to encourage you. And for myself, this is a little intimidating. But through Christ, we can do all things. And I just want to kind of share with you a little bit here before I get going on the Scriptures. That many of the messages that I have heard at the Peaks, Bozeman Family Camp and the Lancaster Family Camp, I have been able to use those in Colorado. We now have had our second family camp. We have our what we call men's half day, where the men get together. And we have some really good speakers come and present some really good messages. Things that we do to edify each other sometimes really stretch out a lot farther than what you think. These messages that so many men have given at the Peaks have reached around the world. You have lifted up so many people by being here.
Praise God.
And it's just not the speakers. It's the sidebar conversations that we all have. That we lift each other up through our prayers. That we edify each other. This is a brotherhood that has tremendous power, because Christ is in us and we are willing to apply that and share it with others. I have been very fortunate to have a Bible study with Jim Gary in Lancaster. And some of you know him. He's a powerful saint. And he has taken the time He has taken time on a weekly basis to help nurture my soul through Bible studies, to give me better understanding. But the biggest thing that has affected my life is seeing Christ in him and his desire to grow and to reflect more and more of Christ. And that's what we all should be striving to do, is to reflect more and more of Christ. I'm trying to get organized here a little bit better. Because of our desire to grow stronger in the Word and our desire to apply it, so many others will grow stronger also. So when we come back from the peaks, get out and share it with your co-workers, your family members. Encourage them to come to participate. Things like this, the family camps, the men's peaks, are so important to all of us. The text that I was given is 2 Timothy 3:12 through 17. Verse 12, indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. But evil men and impostors will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. You, however, continue in the things you have learned, become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God, profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequately equipped for every good work. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time to come together, to learn, to become stronger, to apply it in our lives, to share it with others. Lord, to lead others to you. I just lift up each and every man that is here, that they will become excited for you and see the necessity of the great work that's in front of all of us. But you have given us all that we need for this great work. And we just thank you for that, Lord. Amen. Verse 12. Indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. We have to ask ourselves at times, do we really desire to live godly in Christ Jesus? And before you want to maybe answer that, I got some points I want to bring out. It's not just sitting in the pews or attending family camps or listening to some amazing preachers, and some of whom they're here today. It's not occasionally filling in a Bible class or helping serve communion.
We're leading a prayer.
It's not saying a prayer over your meal or occasionally reading in your Bible. This is not an on-again, off-again relationship, which is really just lukewarm. And we all know what God thinks of lukewarm. So what is it? What is this desire to live godly in Christ Jesus? It's a desire to imitate Christ in our thoughts, our words, and our actions. It's every day. It's 24/7. It's about edifying your soul, learning more and more about God's Word, applying these truths as we transform and overcome and become this new creation. It's implementing His light that will overcome and remove these old habits that we have. Sometimes our reactions, our thoughts. It's about a desire to follow through, to edify our souls and those of other saints. It's about praying to God that He'll give you opportunities to seek and save the lost. It's about lining up Bible studies with other Christians and also with the lost. A one-on-one Bible study is the most important tool that we can use to leading those lost souls to Christ. It's not in a big group. It's not the preacher's job. It's all of our jobs. But we see also, too, that there's going to be persecution. Now, you know, the first thought that came to my mind about persecution is you look at some of the early Christians and the physical things that they went through. And even in the world today, we can look over in a lot of other countries that people are physically being persecuted. And Paul tells us that we will be persecuted. But yet, here we are in the United States. There's no physical persecution going on for being a Christian, for being a saint. But there is. There is persecution going on. It's not the physical. It's the internal. The dictionary defines persecution as a program or campaign to exterminate, to drive away, or subjugate people. But we can do that to ourselves. So let's look at some of the things that might be called persecution within our lives that are going to interfere with a desire to grow, to transform, to overcome, to really understand of what it means to be a new creation. We like to be entertained. One of the gentlemen back in our assemblies gave a message. He's a college professor of English. And he asked his students, list the 10 most important things in your life. Number one on their list, entertainment. What's another form? What about being extremely busy? I can raise my hand on that one. Wow, I can be so busy I can't even have time to sleep. Sometimes persecution is that we lack trust and faith in God, that He will supply us with everything that we need to edify our own souls, to transform and overcome, to edify others, and to seek and save the lost. We don't believe in ourselves. We don't see ourselves as God sees us. He has given us a tremendous strength in His Word, in His Son, that we can fulfill what He has asked us to do. We don't see ourselves as being worthy. Have you ever had a hobby that that's all you could think about, when it's really an addiction? It could be hunting, fishing, playing video games. It could be anything. How about following sports? We've all witnessed some people, and maybe even some of us have been in that position, that you get consumed by following the football games. That's your priority. Satan loves that. He's really happy when we let entertainment, hobbies, our love of sports, or whatever it may be, pull us away instead of God being our priority. You know, Satan has a motto. I will take you captive by whatever means I can, so that you do not edify your own souls or edify others, let alone seek and save the lost. Think about that. Think about how we get pulled away from the things that we really are supposed to be doing, of seeking and saving the lost and edifying the saints. You know, it's easy to see the physical persecution that goes on in the world. But are we willing to look within ourselves and see the persecution that we're doing to ourselves? How we're beating ourselves up? How we're letting things of the world beat us up? Have that desire to live godly in Christ Jesus. There's nothing wrong with having a hobby. There's nothing wrong with watching sports. Nothing wrong with being entertained. It's how we go about it. How that can control our lives. We need to self-analyze and really take a look. Are we consumed by some of these things? Are we being persecuted? We all have busy schedules. I'd be willing to bet that there's nobody here that's going to say, gee, I have nothing to do. I just sit around all day long and nothing's going on in my life. We're all busy. But are we busy for the right reason? What is our priorities about being busy? You have to look at this. You have to refocus. Prioritize. This type of persecution, though, is self-induced. We do have a choice. We have a choice. We don't have to allow this to come into our lives and take control. We don't have to see ourselves as unworthy. We don't have to look at ourselves and say, yeah, I would like to have a Bible study with somebody, but I don't feel comfortable with it. There are going to be times where you're going to be uncomfortable. People are going to ask you questions in a Bible study that you might not have an answer to. That's why it's important to have good, strong saints to help you out, to walk you through. There are times where you're going to be put in a position that you're going to have to make a stand or face some persecution. Co-workers, family members. I can guarantee that. It's sad. Your own children and your parents turned their backs to you. It will happen. If you stand up for Christ, there are many forms of persecution. And at times it's going to break your heart. But where's your focus? Where's your desire? Right now, this is not easy for me to stand up in front of a group such as yourselves. But I know God wants me here. There's a reason. I thought about this real seriously when I got the email from Mr. Wilson. What can I offer to edify your souls, to lift you up, to lead you to that higher ground? Higher ground in battle terms is always the preferred place, to be on higher ground. And we can use that as a weapon against our enemy, the devil. Not to let him take away our desire to live godly. Through entertainment, through whatever forms it might be. He wants to beat us down whatever way he can do. So be aware of that. Do not let negative thoughts and situations, persecution, that will come up in your life, beat you down. You have that choice. In verse 13, but evil men and opposers will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. You know, it's pretty obvious what's being said here in verse 13.
and maybe I don't really need to spend a whole lot of time on it. But am I deceiving myself? Sometimes it's difficult to see. To see what's happening around us being deceived. At times, do we read through the scriptures and you really just don't understand what maybe God's trying to tell you? So you just kind of let somebody else do it for you? You know, after all, that's what the preacher's for. Sometimes we feel a little intimidated about a Bible study. We're being deceived here. Very subtle. You know, that's why it's so important, and you've heard this message time and time again. Don't be jumping around in the scriptures, picking this verse and picking that verse that's going to tickle your ear. Study the scriptures. Know them. This is a lifelong commitment. Don't be deceived. Be knowledgeable. Be aware. And the only way that's going to happen is to get into the scriptures. To get into some good Bible studies. It's very important. There's a lot of stuff out there that's trying to deceive people. And Paul tells us, you know, it's just going to get worse. You think it's bad now, it's got to get worse. It's really important that we surround ourselves with strong saints. It's really, really important. As a babe in Christ, I have to pull in the strength that I see other men have so that I won't be deceived. I went down that trail for too many years being a pretend Christian. I didn't put any effort into it. Whoever said whatever was good with me. I was just going through the motions. Don't be deceived. Know for yourself what the scriptures say. Nobody can take that away from you. Verse 14. You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them. Look at the question I'm going to throw out. I'm pretty certain I know the answer. Do we ever stop learning? Do we? No. We see people that have found what they consider that comfortable spot in their life, in their walk with Christ. Sometimes people are just happy to have kind of a fuzzy idea of the scriptures. We see that in a lot of the pretend faiths. They just kind of pick and choose what they like. We see people, too, that they think they get to a certain point in their walk that they don't need to learn anymore. They can just kind of coast along. I mentioned earlier about being lukewarm. That's what I'm talking about. We continue to grow, to transform, to overcome. We continue to be that new creation in growing and learning. As we mature and we grow, our number one teacher should always be Christ Jesus. Always. There's a lot of powerful men here. They're very knowledgeable. Praise God for them. But remember, our number one teacher is Christ Jesus. Kind of a twofold meaning. Because we're supposed to imitate Christ. To be more of Him and less of us. This really helps us to form this relationship, this intimate relationship with Christ. When we imitate Christ in our thoughts, in our words, in our actions, we are becoming more and more like Him. To imitate Christ is a lifelong learning experience. We are to reflect Christ so that others may see Jesus and want to share in that relationship that we have with Jesus. So we have to apply what we're learning and then share it with others. It's a response. Action is a response to learning. So if we're not actively sharing God's word with others, are we really growing? It's interesting. Over the last 6 years, we have gotten many CDs from the different, the Peaks. We've listened to the messages, to the family camps. We get literature from various places. And I've been able to listen to gentlemen like Mark Miller grow and get stronger. I've listened to the messages from Mr. Wilson. He's continuing to grow. He's learning. He's applying more and more. That's awesome. They're not comfortable where they're at today. They know there's more. And they have that desire for more. And we can hear that in their messages over the years. It's fantastic. And these are powerful saints. And there's many more here that I've gotten to know and have conversations with. It's awesome to see that desire to grow. Because we are warriors in God's kingdom. We have to sharpen our skills. We have to practice. We have to exercise. We have to have that desire to come closer and closer to God. But always remember, our number one teacher is Christ Jesus. We are to imitate their faith as they are striving to imitate Christ and reflect Him more. For they want to live godly in Christ Jesus. We need to imitate their faith. Are we doing that? Are other people saying that of us? Verse 15. and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Are we bringing up other people in the Word? You dads that still have kids at home, are you having Bible studies with your children? And I'm not talking just, you know, reading a story out of the Bible before or after supper. I'm emphasizing one-on-one Bible studies with your kids. Take that time. If you have four or five kids, it's going to take you some time. But have a one-on-one Bible study with them. Are you having a Bible study with your wife? Take that time. You know, with our kids, it's really important, this verse here, so that they understand the Scriptures and have the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Now we're going to get some wind. That's not going to work. I haven't had a lot of experience with leading somebody to Christ that was baptized at a very early age. I'm talking like, you know, 5 years old, 10 years old, 12. Do they really have the wisdom to make that kind of commitment? I don't think so. Here's the most important commitment that any of us can make. And you're going to let a small child think that they're making the right choice? Too many times I have seen individuals that were baptized at an early age, and they absolutely have no relationship with God, but they think they're fine. I'm sure a lot of you have experienced the same thing. Yeah, I was baptized. I'm good. When was the last time you had a Bible study? Why? Well, why do I need a Bible study? I'm good. You ask, do you have a relationship with God? What do you mean? You know, these people are clueless. Gentlemen, this can happen to any of us, though, with our kids. If we're not working with them, having that one-on-one Bible study with them, seeing where they're at, taking that time, so that they do have this wisdom and faith to make a commitment. Don't assume that you're bringing them up in a Christian home and that, well, yeah, they heard it. You know, they understand. Don't fall into that trap. Take the time. You know, it means working with kids, and it helps us to also work with others it's really a good place to get some knowledge about leading a Bible study, a one-on-one. We all know what the world has to offer. And it's a dangerous place. We need to work with our kids so that they don't stumble, that they're not deceived, that nobody can pull the wool over their eyes when it comes to Scripture. You know, we know there's a lot of battles out there, but we also know that we have the victory. Convey that to your kids, that there will be some battles, but they have the victory. We can use the same principles that we're using with our kids on truth seekers. Someone who isn't a Christian, who isn't a saint, but they have a desire to learn more. They have some questions. This applies in so many things in our lives. What we start at home, how we can take it out and use it to further God's kingdom. We have to make sure that when one of our kids, one of our loved ones, somebody we're having that Bible study with, that truth seeker, that when they come up out of that water of immersion, that they understand they've gone under for the right reasons. That they understand what God expects of them, and in turn, what we can expect that God's going to give us. Verse 16. All Scripture is inspired by God, profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. All. It starts off with a three-letter word, all. But it has a huge punch here. All Scripture is inspired by God. We have a Bible study, and we go through the proof of the Bible. This is hugely important that we establish the fact that this is God's Word. All Scripture is inspired by God. It takes away the smoke and mirrors that so many people have about what the Bible is. You know, we see a lot of different religions in the world that are a blend of Scripture. They're a blend of New Age philosophies. You know, they twist the Scriptures around to suit their own goals, to line their own pocketbooks. There's a lot of people out there that are confused. They really don't know. They have so much junk stuck in their head from all this other stuff that we have to work through that with them so that when they read all Scripture is inspired by God, that they really understand that and believe that. You can't leave anything out. You can't pick and choose. You can't pick random verses that tickle your ears. All Scripture. Like some of the other gentlemen have already stated, sir, Scripture supports Scripture. Very important. I was talking to a coworker that he had such a twisted idea of the Bible. He had a lot of New Age philosophy mixed in there. A lot of holistic thinking about health. This guy had such a smorgasbord in his head that he was going to be a challenge to have a Bible study with. The thing is, he didn't want a Bible study. He was real happy with what he had built. Because there's no self-reflection on where he was, what he was going to do, no accountability. He was just a happy-go-lucky guy, and he was just tripping through life thinking that everything was just fine. It's profitable for teaching. And this is how verse 14 and 15 come about. If they're going to happen, we have to be teaching. Individual Bible studies, coming together, like at the Peaks, having studies. You're having Bible studies with your family. There again, it's a good place to start to build some confidence, to go out to that lost person and have a Bible study. Got something here for the younger guys that just have girlfriends. Are you having a Bible study with your girlfriend? Are you? If you're not having a Bible study with your girlfriend, then what's your priority in that relationship? I think there's a verse about being unequally hitched. What are your priorities? For us older guys, are you a little nervous about having a one-on-one Bible study with somebody else? A good way to get over that nervousness is to have a Bible study with another saint. Let them be the part of a truth seeker. And you practice on leading that Bible study with them. There's a lot of men here that would be more than willing to work with you on that. To give you the confidence that Christ has put in you already. It'll come out. It's like anything else. You know, practice, practice, practice. You got to work at it. Because there's no age limit. There is none. And I tell you what, you want to see something really neat when you're having a one-on-one Bible study with somebody, and all of a sudden you're going through some scriptures and their eyes just pop open. And, oh, wow! They get it. It's fantastic. It's neat. Talk about giving you, you know, a little extra boost. Yeah. You know, I like to call it that wow moment. It's like, wow, I never seen that before. I've read that, but I never seen that. It's fantastic. Reproof. Now, that's not a word that we hear a lot today. In the Greek, it means to be proven or tested. God's Word's been tested. And it's been proven. The world's, you know, scrutinized it, analyzed it, criticized it, and the Bible still carries on. We've seen, you know, people try to twist it around for their own good, and they just make a mess out of it. The Bible is perfect just the way it is. It is something that we really have to hang on to, this reproof, this tested and proven. You're going to have people that are going to try to come at you at all different angles to try to disprove God's Word. Righteousness. You know, in today's world, I think it's safe to say that righteousness is lacking in a lot of different areas. And we don't really see it demonstrated in the world very often. Righteousness, we can identify it, we can see it, and it's real. We are to be righteous in everything that we do. It's to be our nature, our character, as we reflect Christ. That's because we have Christ in us. This is the righteousness that's embedded in our inner man. How do we implement righteousness? How do we demonstrate that we are a man of God? First off, we must see the value that God has placed in each and every one of us and have trust and faith in us. In Matthew 22, verses 36 through 40, if we love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and mind, remembering this is the first and greatest commandment, followed by loving others as we should love ourselves, righteousness is the result. Deuteronomy 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons, shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you get up. Righteousness. Here again, that's a reflection of Christ. It's how we conduct ourselves, how we talk, how we lead our families. It's not just a Sunday morning suit that we put on, and then Monday morning we live a different way. This is 24/7. This is in us. Cornelius in Acts 10, he was a righteous man. He wanted more of God. Because of his desire, Paul was able to bring him to that higher ground and share God's truth. What a doorway this opened up with Cornelius, a righteous man. What doorways will be opened up to us if we have a desire to live godly in Christ Jesus and be that righteous man? Philippians 4, verses 8 through 9, Paul gives us kind of a quick list. What is true, what is noble, what is right, what is pure, what is lovely, what is admirable, what is praiseworthy. Now, we just don't become righteous by doing good work. If your heart's not right, you're wasting your time. If you're just going through the motions, basically you're just obeying the law. Righteousness follows in our actions a reflection of Him who we serve. Have to remember, it's this heart condition. It has to come from the heart. Paul even says, whatever you have seen or heard from me, put into practice. There's many righteous men here. What we see them do, how they conduct their lives, both in public and in private. These are righteous men. Imitate that faith. You know, the thing is, though, it's easy to say this, to do this when everything is going good. You know, you're tripping along through life. You know, you think you got a good relationship with your wife and your kids. Finances are okay. You know, the car's still running. Everything's fine. And that little part about persecution? All of a sudden, things get turned around. Maybe you have a big knockdown drag out with your wife. Maybe the kids are looking at you like, who are you? When you have teenagers, you kind of understand that look that they can give you. Reflecting Christ, being that, striving to be that righteous man, that's going to come out in the tough times, in the difficult times, when the stress hits for whatever reason. When that inner man shows in our reactions, that's an indicator of maybe where we need to do some work in our lives so that we can become righteous in our actions and in our words. It's not easy. It takes work. Verse 17, so that the man of God may be adequately equipped for every good work. So that. It's kind of an interesting lead into this. Do we have that desire to live godly for Christ? So that we reflect Him? Are we willing to go out there and seek and save the lost, actively working to further God's kingdom? Adequately equipped. How's that going to happen? Here again. Study the Scriptures. How's that going to show? It's going to show in our actions, in our words. We have to have faith within ourselves, too, that God is going to help us through any situation that we're put in. He's not going to leave us high and dry. We have a lot of work to do. And we are adequately equipped if we choose to. I have some questions I'm going to ask everybody. Something I want you to think about. Number one. In this next year, will you commit yourself to living a godly life in Christ Jesus? Now, some people might think, well, hey, we're all here. Look at all these great men here. But I know there's some of us that are struggling with that. To live, commit yourself 24/7 to living a godly life in Christ Jesus. Will you in this next year live righteously, even in persecution? Persecution that comes from the inside and from the outside. This next year, will you increase in your knowledge of God's Word? To increase your wisdom. The next 12 months, will you apply the building blocks God has given you in His Word? This coming year, will you truly believe that you have been fully equipped for every good work? For the next 365 days, will you see that 2 Timothy 4:2 applies to you? So I want you to read that. You know, I have to give George, my brother-in-law, some credit here. I asked him to explain a while back John 15 about the fruit of the vine. And he replied, "The fruit is characteristics of Christ in us so that more characters will come into the kingdom." God wants more characters. We're all unique individuals. We all have so much to give. There is no set pattern in seeking and saving the lost as far as my personal qualifications are. I have world life experiences that make me unique, that can help me relate to other people that have similar experiences that are going on in their lives. God has equipped each and every one of us. We really have to have the faith that God has in us that we can seek and save the lost through His Word, His way, with His Scriptures. He has faith in us. Recently, I've seen a movie. It was called Red Tail. And there was a comment that they made. And it's about African-American flyers in World War II. To get a chance, it's a pretty good movie. The comment was, it just takes one individual, one leader, one man of God to accomplish great things. Are you ready to be that individual? To be that leader to accomplish great things in God? In that movie, it says, as mentioned earlier, "Many of you were brave, and I have grown stronger." Your strength helps me to grow stronger. Together, we have a lot of work to do. God's preparing us. We can do this because Christ is within us and we have a desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus. Thank you.
I really appreciated that so much, Roger. You know, you did a great job. I can remember the first time I stood up there, and it's really scary.
Yes, it is.
Grab those notes. Your challenge at the end for us to specifically increase in wisdom and work on wisdom, I really want to underscore that. I think that's so important. You know, Jesus increased in wisdom and stature before God and men, and we're supposed to grow into His image. But even more that, in the eternal purpose, in Ephesians 3:10, it says that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the angelic authorities. And so that wisdom is not only for us, and growing together in that is so important for our personal lives and for the church, but for God's purpose beyond all this, the eternal thing, is for the angels to see us grow in wisdom and become like Christ. You know, they saw Christ, but, you know, of course, just like men do, they kind of pass it off, well, that's God's Son, you know, of course He did it, blah, blah, blah. But when they see us, you know, the little guys, the no-namers, growing in wisdom, all of us together, bouncing off, like you're saying, to be brave and make me stronger. Wow. That's what God needs for us to do. And so I want to really underscore how important that question, that call was for me personally and for all of us. Thank you.
Just quickly, I just wanted to say thank you very much. That was one of the most practical messages I've heard in a long time. And so I just wanted to kind of put that out there, that thanks for getting it right down to earth. Or getting it right down to heaven, or however you consider that.